Hey, good morning, Sower Nation. It is Sunday, January the 11th, 1-1-1. Y'all, every day, if I ever catch my clock in the daytime at 1:11 p.m., I just feel like it's a moment to stop and sing the doxology, you know? And I feel like maybe that's how we should start today. It's a doxology day. 1-1-1, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. I could hear some of you out there harmonizing with me there. You know I'm listening. Well, it is January the 11th. It's Sunday. We're going to be in the house of the Lord together. Some of you are going to join us in Gillette in person and some online. We meet at 10:30 Central Time. We're on YouTube and Facebook. We'd love to see you if you don't have a church. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Dad's going to be with me to sing a great hymn here at the end. Let's dive into our morning together, our meeting with Jesus. He's here. That's the most important thing. He's joining us all together, the Lord of the church, the teacher of the kingdom. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're waking up to wisdom in January. We're working our way through the 31 Proverbs. We are today at Proverbs 11. I want you to read that whole chapter. Our entry today is entitled the quote, One Other Person, Confidentiality Crusher Principle. Our text, of course, is from chapter 11. It's verses 13 and 14 today. Hear now the word of the Lord. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Let me ask the question, am I a trustworthy person? Are you? I will always remember one of the happenstance lessons taught me by one of my mentors, the late Ellsworth Callis. I served on his cabinet throughout his term as the president of Asbury Seminary. Before that, when I was a student there, he was my preaching professor. Now, in those days, we were navigating our way through a difficult season of the seminary's life. Our leadership team held many highly sensitive conversations, which required the highest degree of confidentiality. And on the heels of these conversations, Dr. Callis, reminding us of the need for absolute confidentiality, would say, do you know how many people hear about something when one person betrays a confidence and tells just one other person. And as he said, one person, he held up his index finger of his left hand, and as he said, tells one other person, he held up the index finger of his right hand. Invite you to do that now if you're listening, just to put those two fingers next to each other. And then referencing those two fingers, now two straight lines next to one another, he answered his own question. How many people hear about something when one person confidentially shares or betrays a confidence confidentially with another person? 11 people. No, that was his point of the two fingers. 11 people. No, the point is it just goes from there. You know, there's probably not a person hearing this or reading it who does not consider themselves a trustworthy person. We highly estimate our ability to keep the confidences of others. We all know gossips, but we would never consider ourselves to be one. The problem most of us have when it comes to confidentiality is we somehow do not consider it a breach to just tell one other trustworthy person. See how it happens? Next, that person tells just one other trustworthy person. And within the span of a day, 11 people have been brought into the circle. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. This is wisdom. Let's call a spade a spade. Telling one other person betrays a confidence, and betraying a confidence makes us a gossip. So, why do we do this? Why would I entrust you with information another person asked me to keep confidential? At least two reasons come to mind. First, something in me wants you to know that I'm in the know. It's a not-so-subtle way of conveying my own sense of self-importance to you. Second, I want you to know that I trust you implicitly and that you can trust me implicitly. This has a way of spreading rapidly, and the further down the chain from the original source, the easier it is to share with just one other person. And do you see the tragic irony here? Trust simply cannot be built on betrayal. Let's call it the one other person confidentiality crusher principle. So let me ask the question again. Am I a trustworthy person? Are you? And let's pray. Our Father, we want to be worthy of trust. I confess that something broken in me thinks I can gain the trust of one person by betraying the trust of another. Would you reveal that broken place to me and lead me in a way of working through it toward healing? Shape me with the trustworthiness of your Son. It's in His name I pray. Amen. The journal prompts today. So, why do people not consider it a breach of confidentiality when they tell just one other person whom they consider trustworthy? What is it in me that causes me to do this? And when a friend entrusts you with another person's confidential information, how does that impact the trust you have in your friend? How might I become a person of the strictest, most loyal confidentiality? And how might I become a person worthy of the confidence of others? Well, what do you think? This is an interesting little subject that the Proverbs touch on here, keeping a confidence. Well, I do want you to know that I keep your confidence. I do hear from people all the time, and I hear all manner of stories and difficult things. And you know what? I will never share anything anybody tells me without their express permission. Sometimes I see a story and I think, man, I'd love to share that story. And if they didn't ask me for confidentiality, I'm going to write them back and say, you know, I sense that this might be a good one for the Sower Nation. I'm not just going to assume I can share it because they didn't say it was confidential. I kind of treat most anything anybody tells me as confidential, unless otherwise notified, right? That's a good default. I think that's wisdom, to consider that what people share with you personally stays with you. And if you have any, even the slightest wondering about that, like, should I share this? Would this person care if I told this to somebody else? Don't assume. Ask them. Just ask them. That's how you become more trustworthy, is you hold things in deep confidence and respect of the person that shared them with you. I have, you know, learned this lesson over my life. I've learned it at times the hard way, and I've grown from it, and I've learned what it does when you actually do keep the confidence and trust of other people. So let's leave it right there today, guys, and we're going to sing and we're going to get to church, okay? Here we go. Well, good Sunday morning to you, Dad. Are you looking forward to being together over here at our church in Gillette?
I am. I'm looking forward to it.
Did you ever imagine that I would be your preacher?
No. Did you ever imagine No. I'd be singing in a choir of that church? No.
We did not see Gillette in our future, okay?
Oh,
we're from Dumas. We're from Dumas, and years ago, Mom and Dad moved out of Dumas, and Dumas still has a good church, nothing wrong with the church in Dumas, but they moved out to the river, and they began coming to church over in Gillette, which is about 10 miles away, a little bit closer. And Gillette is a town that we all knew growing up,
yeah,
but we didn't know what was here, did we?
Mm-mm, no. Just barely knew where it was.
There's this, you know, you pass by a small town and you don't even know all the treasure inside of it. Well, we do now.
Yeah.
But the big surprise was when I came to be the preacher here.
That was a good surprise, but it was a surprise.
It was a big surprise.
Probably to everybody in Gillette.
In Gillette and in Dumas.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we just didn't see it coming. That's how God's plan is.
That's right.
You look forward, and you can't predict it, but you look backward, and you wouldn't change it.
That's exactly right.
That's how God's will works so often. And we just trust God and do the next right thing, the next good thing. Well, we're going to get ready for church. We're going to warm up with a good hymn today. Well, tell them what we're singing.
We're going to sing, O God, Our Help in Ages Past.
Oh, God, our help in ages past.
And this, I don't know what kind of book y'all got, but...
Yeah, Our Great Redeemer's Praise.
It's page 15 in it.
It's number 15. You know what we just celebrated in Gillette this past, last night? The Coon Supper. For the 82nd, our third Gillette Coon Supper. Raccoons, okay?
Yep.
And we were there for it. So we're glad to get that one in the record books again. And
yeah, that's an old time.
Old time deal. All right, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all six verses, a short one. Oh, God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Under the shadow of thy throne, thy saints have dwelt secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. Before the hills in order stood, or earth receives her crown, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. A thousand ages in thy sight are just an evening gone. Short as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun. Time like an ever-rolling stream bears all its sons away. They fly forgotten as a name dies at the opening day. O God, our help in ages past, our help for years to come. Be thou our God, our shelter, and our eternal home.
Yeah, they'll like that one.
I love how these great hymns, they start on earth, but they end in heaven, don't
they?
That's
right.
Our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our eternal home. And that's an Isaac Watts hymn, one of the great hymn writers.
In 1719.
1719. He's one of the great hymn writers of the 18th century. He's right in there with Charles Wesley writing hymns. And you asked me, are people still writing hymns today? And, you know, Chris Tomlin and I have written a couple of hymns together. And a lot of modern worship singers are kind of catching on. They too like the old hymns. I mean, they're writing lots of new songs. But I loved how Chris Tomlin in his last record sang "This Is My Father's World."
Oh, that's a beautiful song.
He did, and he kind of did a new spin on it. It was really good. "The King Is Still the King," that record. Maybe we'll sing that one tomorrow. This is my Father's world.
Mm-hmm.
But we do need hymns. We need to sing psalms. And boy, we hardly don't sing songs at all. Psalms. Interestingly, Seedbed has made a psalter. And we have them put to tunes. Julie Tennant and Tim Tennant worked for years to make this book.
Is it a book?
It's a book.
Where is it?
Well, I don't have it handy here, but maybe sometime we can sing a psalm on here.
Yeah.
You need to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the three legs of the stool of worship, of songs. So, well, it's time for us to get ready for church, all right? We won't see you on the field today. We'll see you at the house of God for the awakening. I'm J.D. Walt.
And I'm David Walt.